Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder here on WGN Radio. My son Michael's 20. Dylan is 16. And when I had teenagers, when Michael first became one, I tried to do research everywhere. I wanted to be a good mom. I wanted my kids to be happy, healthy, and functioning. And I came across this website called Grown and Flown. And Lisa Heffernan is on with us. You were behind that website, and now that website has turned into a book, basically.
Yes, Wendy, it has. Thanks so much for having me. Just last week, Grown and Flown, How to Support Your Teen, Stay Close as a Family, and Raise Independent Adults came out. So it's a pretty exciting moment for us.
And we have a regular guest here, Dr. John Duffy, who you guys have hooked up. He put out a new book, too, Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety. And I'm telling you right now, this is a great 1-2 punch to own both of these books as we try and navigate the territory of being a parent.
Yeah, we're in a tough kind of situation here because so much of our own experience as teenagers are not relevant now that we're parents. So much has changed. So we're having to try and figure this out in real time.
All right, give us some examples of what has changed. I know that there are actual things of school refusal issues now. There's a lot of anxiety. I think back when I went to junior high and high school, I didn't love school, but I loved the social aspect of school. That's where I was able to hang with my friends all the time, and now it's a very different situation. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, a lot has changed in the relationship between parents and teens and young adults, college-age kids, whether they're working or in the military or they've gone off to college. And what researchers tell us is that the relationship is much closer, that they talk to us more, they confide in us more. They actually want to be with us more, which is pretty wonderful on one level. But what it means is that the continuing relationship is much closer and we are much more involved in the problems in their lives. So what you're suggesting is a situation where maybe you didn't like school, but you probably just got on with it. Maybe you didn't tell your parents that much about it, and you just went on with your day. Now our kids would involve us in that thought process and involve us in what's going on in their lives in a way that we didn't.
Lisa, don't you think, though, that to some extent every generation has said, oh, these kids today, they don't understand anything. It's not like when I was a kid. That's been going on since biblical times, hasn't it?
It certainly has. There's no question about that. What really seems to have been different, though, is that the generation of people who are parents now, if you came of age in the 70s, maybe 80s and 90s, you kind of were an adult at 18. You went off on your own. Long-distance calls were very expensive. Maybe we talked to our parents once a week. We really raised ourselves through those young adult years. That is not happening so much. Parents are much more involved with their late teens and young adults. And a lot of data is showing us that this is not a bad thing. We're raising a better generation, a better behaved generation than we were. So that what you're talking about, Bill, where we always think, oh, well, you know, kids these days are awful. Kids these days are pretty wonderful, actually. They drink less than we drank. They binge drink less than we drank. They have sex later. They have sex with fewer partners. They have more protected sex than we had. Drug use, other than marijuana, by and large, is down. Smoking, until this vaping started, was way down. So many of the influences that we have in their lives are turning out to be pretty positive.
When you say they're having sex later, about what time?
No, not later today.
Oh, all right.
Later today. Oh. But the number of high school students who have sex has gone down. The number of high school students who have ever drank alcohol has gone down. And certainly that very, very dangerous binge drinking has gone down among high school students.
All right. There's good news.
Listen, I'm happy about this for my kids, but I'm kind of shocked at some point because when I think back to when I was 16 or 20, I had done a lot more than they are doing now, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
And this generation is so more into what's going on with this world of ours. Honestly, I didn't really care what was going on when I was in high school and even into college. I didn't think about it. These kids are more socially active, wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely true. They're more socially active. They're better educated than we are. And they're more inclusive than we are. They are more willing to understand and think about other people's point of views. They have a broader mind about people who are different from they. Pew Research looks at this very often, and they monitor it, and we have a much more open-minded generation being brought up.
What do we attribute this to, Lisa? The amount of acceptance astounds me. I'm thrilled for it, but what do we attribute this to?
It's great. Part of it's the internet. They are exposed to things that we were never exposed to. Our worlds were much smaller. They were our neighborhoods, perhaps. Their world is literally the world. So part of it is that, and part of it is the activism that Wendy's talking about.
All right, I have another thing, and I know that there is a saying out there, you can't be your kid's best friend, and no one is trying to be, maybe some people are, I'm certainly not, but there is a different relationship. I never talked to my mom about a boyfriend or a bad breakup or anything, or even problems with school, but now it's like if you give your kids a chance to talk, as you mentioned, they communicate with us more. And they deserve an opinion. And I guess I get frustrated when people go, oh, you know, you tell them what to do. You're the parent. That's not necessarily true anymore, is it?
No, Wendy, I would suggest that you can't be your kid's best friend, but you can be their mentor. That what the goal here is to slip into that role of an older advisor, wiser, more experienced. You're there to listen. You're there when they have to unload and they're upset about something or they're angry about something or they just need to talk something through. And you're there when you're asked for advice. You know, you touched on something super important. When we were teenagers or young adults, we did not talk to our parents about our problems, maybe academically. We didn't talk to our parents about our relationship issues. And we didn't talk to our parents about careers so much or about money management. Instead, we talked to other people who are our age. Well, they didn't know any more than we did. When you ask another 18-year-old about your 18-year-old relationship, you get not such great advice. When you talk about money problems with another 20-year-old, what in the world do they know? So our kids are wise to speak to us, and it's helping them a great deal. But we have to slip, as you say, not into that friend role and not into that sort of overarching parent role, but try and think of it as that mentor role that we're moving into.
Here's a text that has come through. Too many of my friends' young adult kids are living at home, not sure what to do with their lives. These parents did too much hand-holding, in my opinion. And that's a lot of criticism that people get. But I don't know. Is it hand-holding? Or, again, you're there as their advocate, their mentor. If they don't know what to do, what, are you supposed to just kick them out and say, figure it out?
Well, the living at home thing is partly because it is really, really difficult to support themselves. The economy is much less hospitable to them than it was to us. So some of that, pardon me, is not their fault in any way at all. So be careful where we're laying the blame. Housing is much more expensive in all the major cities. I know it's more expensive in Chicago than it was when we were their age, certainly as a percentage of our income. So that we maybe don't want to lay the blame at their feet. If they're not finding direction, then some of that is on them. And parents need to, again, slip into that mentor role. The way we like to think of it, one of the rule of thumbs that I think is useful is, would I do something for your kid? Wendy, say you and I are great friends. I hope we can be. And would I do for your 20-year-old something? Would I have your child come to work with me? Would I proofread your kid's resume? Would I take that phone call and give them some advice about what I've done with my career? I certainly would. If you would do things for somebody else's kid, then you probably aren't overparenting if you do those same things for your own kid.
That's a good little test to see if you would.
But Lisa, the added frustration on the parents' end is they just shelled out $20,000 or $25,000 or $30,000 or $35,000 a year for school, and then the kid is just sitting on the couch going, "Now what will the world give me?" You know?
Yeah, the couch thing isn't good.
Yeah.
there's no question that's not good. And sometimes I think your tweeter, was it Twitter, is right. Parents do have to lay down the law and say, you know, you're going to pay for some of the expenses in this house. You don't need to find your own apartment because I recognize that's unaffordable. That doesn't mean that you get a free ride here.
And I'm hoping these kids, these young adult kids, at least have a job. I honestly can't imagine having an adult child at home not working. That doesn't seem right.
No, and unemployment among college-educated kids is actually very, very low. So while some kids are sitting at home, it's not as much as the press would have us believe. I believe unemployment is below 3% for college-educated young adults.
All right, Grown and Flown, how to support your teen, stay close as a family, and raise independent adults. It is from Lisa Heffernan. She's a New York Times bestselling author, co-founder of Grown and Flown. You can go to grownandflown.com, and this book is out and about, right? It came out last week?
Absolutely. It came out last week, and we're thrilled to see that people are enjoying it and finding it helpful.
I can't wait to read it, and I will, cover to cover. And raising independent adults, what are some tips that we can do as parents to help them find their way?
Well, that is the goal. One thing, you know, parents have lots of different goals for their kids' lives, things we hope that our children achieve in their lives, but independence certainly is one of them. One of them is what we just talked about, trying to become a mentor to your child, trying to become non-judgmental. Your child's path is going to be different than your own. It's very difficult for sometimes for us to bite our tongues and recognize that, but the sooner we do that, the more constructive our relationship with them is going to be. We also have to set the examples of what we hope for them to achieve in their life. So, you know, you want hardworking kids. You want them to see you working hard. You want kids who can manage their time. You sit with them. You show them how you manage your time. We have a section where we talk about college admissions, which is a very, as you know, very complicated process sometimes. You don't do the process for your kid, but you sit down maybe with a spreadsheet and say, how are you going to organize this? How are you going to keep track of everything? Let's think of some systems. So there's a lot of modeling independence and a lot of modeling adulting that has to go on. It's not good enough to say what was done with us, basically, which is, you know, you're 18 years old, you're kind of on your own. What's really helpful is for us to sit down, talk through, model, and then listen when they need us.
I've also noticed something about families today. You get kids that go away to school. Thankfully for me, not for him, my first one went to a junior college and is finishing that up right now, and then can move on and do what he wants, either college or a job. And I have a junior in high school. But I've noticed families are much closer now, even after someone has moved away. That's obviously important to kids today, is staying in the family unit, isn't it?
It is. They keep in touch. You know, 30 years ago, only about half of parents talked to their adult child every week. Now it's almost 100% talk to their adult children every week, and sometimes every day. Now, this may not mean actually a phone call. This may be in a text that says, how you doing, and the response is fine, and that's the communication. But we are much closer, and we're closer both with our children and our family units because of these, you know, texting apps and WhatsApp and GroupMe. People are staying in contact as a family unit. Everything we know from research is that this gives young adults stability. It gives them confidence. As long as we're not telling them what to do with their lives, as long as we're not trying to control them, but rather just supporting them, that this is very beneficial to them.
Lisa, we're coming to the sentencing stage of the Lori Loughlin, Felicity Huffman cases, the college admission cases. Now that some time has passed and we've had time to digest everything that went down, what do we get from all this? What have we learned from that story?
I think what we've learned from that story is that when we try and do something for our kids that they can do for themselves, these children were very able. They could have gotten into college, maybe not the college their parents picked out for them. We disable our kids. This is what those parents did. I think experts will tell you is one of the most damaging things we can do with our kids. The message they gave their kids is, I don't trust you to do this for yourself. Not, I'm going to sit down and talk with you. Let's game plan how you're going to do this. They did it for them. So it's the doing for them that is the dangerous thing that the parents did here, as well as violating the law.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
For a second, because I assume most parents won't do that. We are tempted to do things for them, thereby implying that they can't do them. The strategy that we're suggesting in the book is that we help guide them, that we help be there as a resource to them.
And I just was reading about Felicity Huffman, her husband,
William Macy.
He wrote a letter to the judge saying, you know, this was unbeknownst to my daughter. They are going to have to repair their relationship. So please, no prison sentence. You know, she is so sorry. And that's true. We are right there saying, yeah, you can't do it on your own. I have learned the hard way. We as moms can't fix everything, and maybe we shouldn't try. Sometimes kids just want to vent and don't need a solution.
Yeah, Lisa Damore, who wrote this wonderful book, Untangled, and another book called Under Pressure, talks about it as taking out their emotional trash. That sometimes the biggest thing we can do is just sit and listen while they dump whatever emotions they're having on us, a safe place, and then they get on with it. That sometimes that alone is a solution. They are not asking us to fix things. Sometimes it's our impulse to swoop in and fix it. That's not the solution many times. Many times the solution is just to listen, to nod, say, would you like my advice? The answer is yes or no, and then let them get on with it.
But if they say no, how can you keep your mouth shut? Because I have trouble doing that.
Bite your lip. Bite your lip.
I will. Lisa Heffernan, congratulations. You co-founded grownandflown.com. It was a great and useful website for me, as Mike, and still is. And now the Grown and Flown book, How to Support Your Teen, Stay Close as a Family, and Raise Independent Adults. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, anywhere, Audible, anywhere books are sold. And go to grownandflown.com. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Take care, Lisa. Thank you. Lisa Heffernan.
Thank you.
All right. We will take a break. We'll get you some news in just a little while, and then there's more show. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.